Good morning, family. I hope you enjoyed singing those songs together. How many of you want to go to heaven? You can say amen, too. All right. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Now, how many of you want to die? Well, unless the Lord comes back, we got to handle that issue first. But if we die in the Lord, that's the best way to die. But we're probably all hoping that we'll just get to go to heaven because Jesus will come back before we die. But anyway, heaven's a beautiful place. You are a beautiful people. I look out today. I know we've got a handsome groom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I look out today and I see he's got a beautiful bride too. So you look good today. I hope you'll follow along with us this morning in Revelation chapter 22. I hope you don't mind reading about heaven for 27 verses. We did that in Revelation chapter 21. And for about 27 minutes, you're going to be hearing me preach about that. Actually, it may not last 27 minutes. But let's begin by talking about this thing I've got on the screen here, which we've got to take care of first before, unless the Lord comes back today or tonight. Tomorrow's going to be what? Labor Day, right? You're all enjoying Labor Day because you know that you won't have to labor, right? You'll get the day off. Well, Labor Day, let me tell you a little bit about Labor Day. We know that, of course, traditionally in our country and the United States, we celebrate this one day a year. It is on that first Monday in September every year, which you will see that tomorrow. And Labor Day was first celebrated in the state of New York in the year 1882. It was sponsored by the Central Labor Union. And the reason they put that day in place, and we're celebrating it, will be tomorrow, is because workers back then were treated very harshly. They were treated like slaves. And so they didn't have any rights. There were a lot of labor issues back then, which we've sort of worked out the kinks, but we still today celebrate Labor Day. The modern day Labor Union movement has changed all of these things for us that make our working a little bit easier today. Labor Day has become a holiday when laborers celebrate their accomplishments. They take the day off. It's funny how we celebrate a day of labor by not laboring. But that is a good thing, and we need days off. It's a good thing for us to have holidays. Holidays are very good for us. Someone once said, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And so we don't want to be a dull boy. We want to have a pleasure in life, so we take holidays. We celebrate holidays in our country. And yet, if you think about it, if every day were a holiday, life would probably be a little bit boring. I know some of you don't believe that. You're saying, I'd love to have every day off, right? But just ask some of the folks that maybe even recently retired. They would tell you, you know, I kind of miss work. Well, a little bit. But it's good to have a day off every now and then. And it's not probably good for us to have too many of those or a lifetime of that. But there will be a time when we will rest from all of our labors. We sang about this in our songs this morning when we sang about heaven. But I think everyone feels the need to stay busy, regardless if we have time off or not. Beyond our busy lives here, we probably would wonder, do these holidays, these holy days, these times where we take time off, do these things tell us anything about heaven? That will be my topic this morning. Even in Bible times, we see that on holidays, the holidays that God had His people, the Jewish people, celebrate, even on those days, they still found themselves busy with activities on their holidays. My first question this morning is, why do we have holidays? Well, Webster defines a holiday as a religious festival or holy day, a day of freedom from labor. And this is nothing new. It's been going on for years and years. They were truly holy days back in biblical times. And so I want to read to you from Leviticus chapter 23, where it talks about some of these holy days. In chapter 23, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these, God says, are my feasts. He says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. He says, you shall do no work in it. So here is a precedent now for God even telling His people, there are times when you need to take a time out, when you need to stop from your work, when you need to rest, when you need to take a break from all these activities that you're in. We go on to read in that same passage in Leviticus chapter 23, beginning at verse 4. He says, now these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. He says, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. We, in essence, celebrated that in the Passover lamb that we partook of in the Lord's Supper this morning. That was as was said on the communion table this morning, that was figurative. That was getting us ready for our Passover lamb when the Jewish people back in history celebrated their exodus out of Egypt by preparing a Passover lamb. That was to prepare us for Jesus, our Passover lamb, today. So there were holidays. There were times when they would gather together. They would offer up offerings. They would offer up prayers to God. And they would take a time of rest. Now I want to go on. Oh, let me mention a few other holidays. There's the Pentecost holiday. There's the Feast of the Trumpets. There is the I had a number of them thought up, and the Day of Atonement, the Feast of the Tabernacles, and several other holidays that they practice under Old Testament law. Now, I think that these things are kind of threefold in nature. They remind ourselves, they rest ourselves, and they reward ourselves. So we take a rest, we take a break. We rest ourselves. We remind ourselves of certain things that God wants us to know about and remember that He's done for us in times past. And we do that even with our secular holy days today. And again, these are days that we reward ourselves by taking some time off. So our holidays, just as with the Jewish holy days, are times when we get together. We may... Some of you are going to probably, I don't know, will you have a barbecue tomorrow? Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You'll probably get together, you'll probably hang out with someone, and you'll probably enjoy some time off from work. Well, I want to go to my second question now, and that is heaven an eternal holiday? We're going to take your Bibles, and you might want to, or you could follow along on the screen here. We're going to now be looking at this passage that was read earlier in Revelation chapter 21. And if you read it, it's rich with all kinds of description from a human viewpoint of what heaven is like. Not what it is exactly like, but what it is like. For instance, when it talks about the measurement of heaven, you notice it says that in one aspect, I won't remember the exact verse, but it says the wall that surrounds the city, heaven is pictured as a city, that wall, it says, is 144 cubits. Now, if I can do the math right, just right now, quickly in my head, that would be roughly a little over 200 inches in width. Be a pretty thick wall. But that's just a physical thing that lets us know, hey, it's a pretty thick wall. It is, and it, you know, talks about the length that you walk, and it gives 144, whatever it is, stadia is the term used. And of course, heaven's much greater than that. But those are just physical terms to say, hey, it's got four walls, east, west, north, south, all that. It's got all these stones that are in there, beautiful, brilliant stones. Heaven is pictured as a city. We notice in the opening verses of Revelation chapter 21 that heaven is also pictured not only as a city, the New Jerusalem with walls, but it's pictured as a bride. And Jesus, again, is our groom. So there are pictures that we are given of heaven. What is heaven going to be like? It'll be the New Jerusalem. Let's read together in Revelation 21 and verse 2. John says, then I, John, he says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So again, the picture of a city, the picture of a bride. Here's some other verses. Chapter 21, verses 9 through 10. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me, and he walked in with me, and he said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried, imagine, a lamb married, right? The Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. And of course, it goes on to talk about, we won't read through all the verses, about the jasper stones and all the wall and the 12 gates and all that. A city, four square, like a city. And 12 foundations, precious stones, all these things. These are just images. Give us an idea of how grand and spacious this heavenly dwelling will be. There are also literal terms that are used to talk about heaven in terms of our enjoyment of being with God in that eternal home. So John writes in Revelation 21 and verse 4, God will what? He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things, he says, have passed away. Skipping down to verse 22. John says, but I saw no temple in it. Imagine, there's no temple there. He says, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. That's the place we'll be so intimately entwined with God that we'll be in that place of worship, that place with God, because we'll be in His presence. And he goes on to say, and the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. He says, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. No sorrow, no tears, no death, nor pain, nor temple will be there. No sun, no night. He goes on to say in verse 27, but there shall be by no means enter anything that defiles or causes any abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. None of these things will be there, but the folks that will be there will be who? The one that the Lamb got out his book and he wrote your name, hopefully, in that book so that you can be in that dwelling with God. Nothing, though, will come in that will bring in any kind of abomination, any kind of sin, any kind of negativity. And so it's a beautiful place to live. The Bible, or not the Bible, we have a hymn that we sing in our songbooks that says, oh, that will be glory for me. And one of the opening line of that song says this, when all my labors and trials are o'er, when they're over. Labors and trials. So when we get to heaven, no labors, no trials. Now, we understand, of course, that there will be no trials. There'll be no negativity, nor will there be any sin. But my question I'm going to ask now is, does that mean that since there's no trials there, that also in that song there'll be no labors there? I want you to think about that for a minute. Will there be labor in heaven? That's a pretty good question that we need to consider today. And that really depends on how you define labor. Will heaven be a place where we are going to be doing absolutely nothing? Well, that'd be pretty boring. We wouldn't want to have, you know, be doing absolutely nothing. I mean, I remember as a young boy when I was growing up and when we'd have our summer break for school. Now, some of you, I don't know, you might feel differently about this, but when I was going through summer, I got to the point, maybe after a few weeks or maybe a month and a half, that I kind of wanted to go back to school. That was where my friends were, and I didn't hang out too much with them, during the summer break, but I'd see them every day at school. So, you know, I didn't want to be bored all the time. I wanted to get back to school. The idea of forever doing nothing may actually sound to some of us like hell, doing nothing. Right? We're just floating on a cloud, you know, strumming a harp. What is it that we're actually doing in heaven? Well, when I wake up tomorrow and it is Labor Day, I can guarantee you this. I do not want to lay in bed all day. I'm going to want to do something tomorrow. And the same thing is true in heaven. When I get there, I'm going to be all over that new Jerusalem, all over town, discovering all the things. Whatever heaven is like, I am going to be like Dora the Explorer, right? I'm going to be checking the place out. I want to see all that God has to offer. I'm going to shake hands, high five with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to be enjoying. I'm going to be active when I'm there. There's going to be people that I want to see, places I want to go, things that I want to do. And so tomorrow is Labor Day. It is a holiday for us to enjoy on earth. But again, the question comes, will there be labor in heaven? Well, in the literal sense, no. There will not be any labor in heaven. Figuratively, I believe the answer, though, is yes. Read with me again in Revelation. Now we're over in chapter 22. Notice the first couple verses here. Well, verses 2 and 3. John says that in the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. He says, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, he says, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And what does it say there? His servants shall do what? That's you and me. His servants shall serve him. Interesting. What does that mean? I mean, what kind of service are we going to render to God? I got to tell you, I really don't know specifically, but I know I'm going to be a servant, and I know I'm going to be providing service to and for God. I know because that verse tells me right there. Well, maybe if we take a quick look back to Genesis for a minute, we'll get a better perspective on this. What was it like before in an existence where they existed with God without sin being part of the equation, without the curse being there, without abomination being there? So here's Adam and Eve. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And out of the ground, the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. So here we've got everything that Adam and Eve needs. There's food everything good for food. He says the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. Boy, we see that restored in Revelation, don't we? The tree of life was there in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. So here was a garden that was planted and really watered by God. Okay, now let's skip down in chapter 2, down to verse 15. And here's this tree watered and planted. And it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to do what? To tend and keep it. Now see, did Adam and Eve sit around and do nothing and twiddle their thumbs while they were in that Garden Eden before they sinned? We know they worked after they sinned, but did they not work also even before they sinned? They're tending the garden. That's, by the way, that's the first job ever for humans, was gardening. Okay, so if you're a gardener, that's a pretty good occupation. So here they are taking care of the garden. Before sin, Adam was tending the garden. Now, after sin, here's what happens. After sin, if we were to read on there in the text, we would find out that they switched from tending the garden to toiling over the ground. And there were now weeds that would grow up, thorns and thistles that would be there because of sin. Man would have to make his way, as it says in Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of his brow. And for the woman, it would be by the sweat of her bosom. In other words, she would have labor pains now. You know, giving birth to children, that was going to happen before sin, but now it would be in what? Here's that good old-fashioned word, labor. In other words, toilsome work. a burden to us. And so that's what happens when sin comes in. Now in heaven, the labor that we engage in is going to be different. We read this passage already, so I won't read it again, but we're going to be serving God. And in that the center of that heavenly city, there's going to be a tree. And that tree is going to bring forth fruit. No longer, it says, will there be a curse on our labor, but we will still be servants serving the Lord. And so if we can picture heaven as an eternal holiday, and we understand that that holiday will not be an eternity doing nothing, that instead we'll be serving the Lord, then in a figurative sense, there is a labor day in heaven, an eternal labor day. Not a day on the calendar, because there will be no calendars in heaven, be no tracking of time, we're in a place of eternity there, but as an eternal existence, as servants of God, serving Him in that holy city. And so what a contrast then to our labors here on earth. Now you still might be saying today, Brother Rowe, you haven't told me what we're going to be doing in heaven. Well, I got a little picture of that. Listen to what John says here in Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. He says, they're there before the throne of God. They serve Him all day and night in His temple. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. So you're not going to be working for food and drink there. He says, the sun shall not strike them nor any heat. And I put a yellow, you see I highlighted that? That's for folks in Phoenix, ones that live here, okay? You know how when you step out into 110, 115? Listen, there'll be no sun to strike them nor any heat. Is heaven getting better for you, Phoenix people? Okay? He says, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to what? Living waters. You know, that's what you want when you're in the heat. You're going to want it in and enjoy it there. Living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. If we were to take a quick little trip through the book of Revelation, to put it even more specifically, here's what we'll be doing in heaven. We'll be singing. We'll be fellowshipping. We'll be worshiping. We'll be praising God. And whatever service means, we'll be serving God. And I guarantee it won't be labor, burdensome toil. It will be a labor of love. We'll love the kind of service that, and the kind of activity, and the kind of fellowship, and the kind of praise and worship that we will enjoy in that heavenly city. Heaven is going to be great. No hunger, no thirst. No summer heat, no winter chills, no tears, nor pain, nothing unpleasant. And as we learn from Revelation 22 and verse 3, no burdensome toil, certainly no boredom. We will serve God forever. In order for us to become servants of God, in order for us to enjoy that eternal existence, that forever Labor Day, if you want to put it. In order for us to enjoy that, we must become followers of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Who's going to make it to heaven? Hopefully you feel like you're going to be there. But I'll tell you something. Good people don't make it to heaven. Forgiven sinners make it to heaven. Those who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right, Lisa? Those who have put on Christ. Those who have entered into a relationship, a covenant relationship, baptism is almost like putting on that wedding ring, you might say, and sealing your relationship with God. When we believe in Jesus Christ and we make a decision to turn our lives over to Him, the Bible calls it repentance. We turn away from sin, we turn toward God, we make that U-turn, and then we enter into a covenant relationship with God through obeying the gospel and the act of being buried with Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We walk in a newness of life. Heaven is our home, an eternal Labor Day with God, which we will enjoy serving Him. If you need to follow Christ today in that way, we want to invite you to come forward. If you're a child of God and you say, I've strayed from the Lord and I need to come back and make heaven my home, we invite you to come right now as we stand to sing.